Gets the service going, is, you know, getting that worship going and everyone getting their mind and one mind and one accord and just getting in the spirit. Brother Brennan talked about how important that was, is to get in the spirit. You know, if you're at a ball game and you're not in the spirit of the game, it's pretty boring. You can sit there and all you see is people running up and down the field goal or the football field, and it's boring. But you get caught up in the game and you're excited. And, you know, it's so important to get in the spirit in worship. Because you get in the spirit, you can get the same spirit that the minister's in and the same mindset that he's in. And you can even see it from the same vantage point he's trying to point you to, and you can see what he's trying to say. God uses the foolishness of preaching through men. And sometimes you have to try to concentrate and say, what is the message that he's trying to give me this morning? Because it's real easy to allow your mind to get down a rabbit trail of thinking, and next thing you know, the minister has gone 10 minutes down the road preaching, and you're thinking about something completely different.
Right.
How many knows what I'm talking about? Amen. You're human, just like I am. And that's something that we have said, Lord, help me receive the message you have for me today. What's the message today? And I believe the Lord's got a message for us this morning.
Amen.
Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 4. I'm having to put the devil back under my foot with my throat, so you just press on. No matter how it sounds, you just keep amening and we'll get through it. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook of Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. I thank you for your presence that's already here, Lord. I ask you, Lord, help me not say anything out of tone, Lord. But Lord, I wholly give myself into your hands now and ask you to speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to speak to you on a thought the Lord has laid pretty heavily on my heart, feast or famine. You know, we talk about a lot of times when you talk about businesses, you'll say, well, how's the business? Well, it's either feast or famine. And knowledge of what they're talking about when they say that is it's either extremely busy or it's extremely slow. But in this aspect of feast or famine, that's not exactly what we want to talk about. We want to talk about, and right now, in this very hour, at this very moment, you can be in a feast or you can be in a famine. Let's put just a quote to try to build a foundation. Now we find out that before he did this, that God had called him, God had talked to him, and therefore he wasn't afraid of anything. He wasn't afraid of his message. It wouldn't happen. He knowed it would happen. He knowed it was according to the word of the Lord, and he knowed he was God's prophet for the hour. Therefore, whether the king would cut his head off, throw him in jail, whatever they do, it made no difference to him. He had a commission, thus saith the Lord. Right in the face of the king, what a rugged person, but before he did this, predicted this great drought, for God will not let sin go unpunished. There must be punishment. What good is a law without a punishment? What good would it do, say, it's against the law to run the light and then no fine behind it? No punishment behind it. It wouldn't be a law. So there's a punishment to sin. And when God makes a law and the law is defied, then there's got to be punishment for that. And this nation had violated all of his laws. Oh, they had a big church, they had the temple, they had plenty of educated men, they had prophets all over the country, had schools of them, turned them out like a machine. They had plenty of prophets, they had plenty of priests, they had plenty of scribes, they had plenty of religion, but they were away from the word. So God called a man outside of their ranks at all and sent him with, thus saith the Lord. And notice now, how he cares for his own. Before he sent his prophet with the message, he said, Elijah, go down and tell the king Ahab these things. And now, when you get yourself away with a right quick, for I have made a place for you to go during the drought. I'm going to care for you, Elijah, if you just preach my word and do just what I tell you to do. Now, I'm going to top this great ministry tonight. I want you to listen to what he's saying here. I'm going to top this great ministry tonight of Elijah and the time of Elijah with the hour we're in now. I believe it's a perfect top. I think of the nations, if we had time to go back, but I want to put plenty of time for the prayer line. So if we could go back and see Israel had taken Palestine upon the same basis that we took this United States. We come into this United States and drove back the occupants, which was the Indians, and possessed the land. So did Israel come to Palestine under leadership of Joshua under God, and drove back the occupants and took the land. And the first kings were mighty men. David, Solomon, great men. Our first presidents were great men. Washington, Lincoln, and so forth. Then finally, the presidents or the kings become getting more rotten all the time. And finally, they ended up with this Ahab. Very top, typical of our day. And the people had gotten so modern, they didn't want to hear the word of the Lord. Does this sound familiar? And you can imagine on a modern people like that, what a real true servant of God would sound like to them while he was crazy. He was out of his mind. There couldn't be no, such a thing. They were religious, very religious. They had sincere men. They had sincere people. They were very religious. So he knew that it would take more than just ordinary theology. It would take more than any ordinary message. It would take more than just preaching the word to crack their stony hearts. He knowed it took, thus saith the Lord, to send that judgment down upon the people. So he knew that when he went out with the thus saith the Lord, and it was thus saith the Lord, to spurn that was judgment. We see that in our day too. We see that in any day. There's nothing left but judgment when you step over the line of mercy. Now that type there that I'm going to type Elijah with in church today, the church of today, just before judgment, we received his message. Elijah, he represented being cared for in the natural, his natural food, because it wasn't going to rain now, according to the word of God, for these 3 years and 6 months, or until Elijah called for it. Whatever time you say, Elijah, that's what it'll be. Therefore, he walked up to the king and said, there will not be a dew fall till I call for it. That's quite a load, isn't it? That's quite a message. And now we're going to type that spiritual drought of today. I'm going to read that again. Now we're going to type that with the spiritual drought of today. Now we all know, we are very aware that there is great spiritual drought in the land today, spiritually speaking. And you know that was predicted by the prophets just before the second coming of Christ would be said. There will come a famine in the land, and it won't be for the bread alone, but it will be for the hearing of the word of God. And that day is now, hearing the true word of God. Now this tops the natural drought with the spiritual. Sin and unbelief by false teachers, modernists in the church, had brought the place this coming, oncoming judgment. Then they had turned from God's word and his prophet to a modern theological terms of the word. Right. You say amen. I know that's quite a bit of reading, but I want you to hear exactly how he said it and see that this is not Brother Daniel that's telling you what I'm telling you today. Today, there is a true famine of the hearing of the Word of God. Amen. And I want you to see it in several different types now. America, in the first type, we're trying to make a revival in America. They're trying to make a revival in the schools, trying to make a revival in the businesses, trying to make a revival in the stock markets. In the churches, they're trying to make a revival of saying, this is the way we'll be, where we can love God's people. And it's gotten to such a poor and such a pathetic example. We know where they said they kicked Jesus outside the church. It's gotten all the way to the point to where now they literally have church where you come inside and they'll serve you cappuccino and cocoa inside the sanctuary. It's really literally gotten to the point, and my children and I were talking about it even this morning, they will give you chips and drinks while you're in the sanctuary. We're not talking about just being in church. We're talking where you're supposed to hear the word of God come. And this is a revival. This is the revival they're talking about. People are coming to church. You go to the Pentecostal meetings, you go there, and I've been to them. They'll go up there and they'll sing for 3 hours or 2 hours, whatever it may be, and they'll get up and they'll preach enough for you to feel the emotion on your flesh, and then they'll close the service, and that's all you get. They're in a revival. Friends, that's out in the world. That's in the church. I want the revival in here. The revival in my house, in my home, because the real revival is going to be in the Word. It's going to be a Word revival where we are becoming one with this message. You know the messenger and his message is the same? So that means if the messenger is gone, the messenger is still here. Because it's the Word. Is that right? And that's where a lot of the churches, even the message churches, have fallen off because they're expecting Brother Branham to come back. Brother Branham don't have to come back. The message is here. It did its job. He and the message are the same. So Brother Branham stepped off the scene, message is still here. Right. That's right. And that's why whenever we take a rapturing faith, we're going to step into that this is going to be where we're going to get a rapturing faith in the midst of a famine, in the midst of a time where we want to look at this, at this time of Ahab, it had turned such a rebellious nation to where they were calling on their prophets for a revival. They wanted a revival in the land. And God, and even Brother Branham said, just having a normal preacher come out and say these things are wrong would not work.
He said, just having the theologians come out and say these things and teach these things is not enough. It was such a severe case of a rebellion against God that it had to be a thus saith the Lord that would actually come on the scene and speak his word, and judgment would take place. Amen. You're talking about a literal judgment upon the earth. And this judgment, what took place, was a famine for the hearing of the word for us. But for them, it was a natural.
Right.
And he provided a place for the message. And all down through the ages, God has always had somebody to believe his word. Is that right? Sometimes it was very few, but God always had somebody to believe his word. And God always made a preparation of where you could get that word. And he told Elijah, he said, Elijah, I'm going to put you over here. I'm going to provide a place for you for a rest during this judgment. During this famine that's going to take place, you're going to be in this secret place. I want to know where that secret place is at.
Amen.
There's a lot of people that knew Elijah. A lot of people, so to speak, went hunting with Elijah. A lot of people had the Elijah belt buckle, so to speak. But that's not going to help you. We need the message.
Amen.
When you know the message and what it said. Amen. Let's dig a little deeper, because if I can get all this out, you're going to love it. I did anyway. I thought the nurses down the street were going to shut me down. I was getting excited there in the hospital. I've been sleeping in the hospital for about 3 days there during the week, and it was kind of nice in a way, because I was able to kind of get away and just study, you know, as long as my dad stayed in the chair, but in the bed. We'll read just a little bit here. Now we see that modern trend of people then, oh, the days are past. There's no such a thing as miracles. The people are all emotionally worked up. Listen to Elijah, the prophet, cry out against them, their theologians. Notice, he spoke as if he was God himself. Elijah spoke as if he was God himself. The dew will not fall from heaven until I call for it. Amen. Yes, sir. The prophet had been so long in the presence of God. Would you listen to this? The prophet had been so long in the presence of God. The prophets of the Old Testament, or any time, when they live in the presence of God until they become the word, their message. Their message is the word itself. And remember, he said, thus saith the Lord. And when those men had those messages from God, they become so wrapped up that their own thinking, it might have been against their thinking. They might not have been able to see it right, but they were speaking the word of God. Thus saith the Lord. There will not be any rain till I call for it. Oh, what a statement. He had been in the presence of God and been vindicated so perfect. And remember, that also follows Amos 3:7. The Lord will do nothing unless he reveals it to his servants or prophets. Said there are not going to be any rainfall. They laughed at him. They thought he was crazy, that fanatic. But see, thus saith the Lord, and it wasn't going to rain. And God, before he did that, he revealed it to Elijah, his servant. He was a vindicated, proven prophet. So the people ought to have repented. But instead of that, they laughed at him. Said, oh, we got plenty of rain. The reservoirs are full. The rivers are running. What you think about this? Pause it for just a moment. Brother Branham talked about how we'll be paying Social Security. Later on, your grandchildren will be paying Social Security that we're spending right now. When Brother Branham was saying those things, people laughed at him. Because America was booming. Everything was going up. The waters were full, so to speak. He says, judgment's coming. It's not going to rain. He says, and look, these people were laughing at him. And I'm going to study right here. He was even talking. He was crying out against women. Quit cutting your hair. Quit bobbing your hair off. He said, and every time I cry more,
He said, they do it even more the more I cry out about it. He was talking about how that men were letting their wives go out and live any way they wanted to. Brother Brennan was talking about how that these men would go out and drink their beer and drink their booze and come right into the pulpit and preach the gospel, so to speak. Brother Brennan was talking about how that he had the anointing on him and he'd go to this meeting. He said that one man would rise up and speak in tongues, the other man would rise up and speak in tongues, they'd interpret. Brother Brennan looked at it. He says, "My, I've got to have what they have." And Brother Brennan had this gift where he could touch their hand and find out what's going on. Both these men could rise up and speak in tongues, interpretation. And he got with them and he took their hand, shook their hands, and God bless you. He said, one of them was the most genuine man you ever met. Absolute Son of God. Just lived the Word. He said he went to the other one. He was the most vile hypocrite you could ever imagine. This man was living a life of absolute filth. But yet the presence of God would come upon this man. And it brought a stumbling block at this time. Brother Brad looked at these things, and when he seen that, it brought a distress on him. And then he realized the Lord revealed to him that it was false anointing. It was an anointing on both men. And that anointing would allow them to do the works of God as far as interpretation in tongues. And so I want you to look at this aspect. Their waters were full. Their banks were full. Their creeks were full, so to speak. And so here's a prophet of God who's saying, you can't be doing these things. You women, a woman has no place in a pulpit. A woman shouldn't be chopping her hair off. Man can't live like this and live like a devil and try to be a son of God too.
Right.
He was preaching hard of going down there and says, you've got to be born again. You can't be wearing these clothes where you're showing your nakedness. He was preaching saying, it's an abomination to the Lord our God for our garments that pertain to a man, man that pertain to a woman. He was preaching these things. And these men were looking at him, and the people were looking, they were laughing at him. They said, look at this man laughing at him. We have a revival going on. Didn't you see me this morning? I was speaking in tongues. Didn't you see me this morning? I prayed for these people, and they were healed. And you're going to preach and say, I have to follow you? This is a man that was demonstrating, the scripture says, thoroughly manifested the gospel. Is that right?
Right.
This message has been thoroughly manifested. And in the midst of this, the prophet was saying, stop doing these things. You must be born again. You must receive the Holy Ghost. And while he was preaching these things, people would look at themselves and say, but I've got the works of God in my life. My creeks are full. He's saying the water's going to stop. There's no way the water's going to stop. Look at me. Look at my harvest. I've prayed for these people. They were healed. I've spoken in tongues. I've danced in the Spirit. I've done all these things. There's a famine for the Word of God that's going to take place. Amen.
Amen.
And he was a vindicated, proven prophet. So the people, they're talking about Elijah. Oh. He was a vindicated, proven prophet. So that the people ought to have repented. But instead of that, they laughed at him. They said, oh, we got plenty of rain. The reservoirs are full. The rivers are running good. The Bible said that there was not even dew for 3 years and 6 months. All the brooks and waters dried up everywhere. That wasn't that man. That was God speaking through that man. That was the I. That was the I. It was, we always know he, I'm not sure, it kind of cut off there. We find out that when a man comes sent from God, ordained of God through the truth, thus saith the Lord, the message and the messenger are always one and the same, because he is sent to represent, thus saith the Lord. Word by word, so he and his message is the same. Now we find out that Elijah could say that because the message of the hour, the word of God, or the message and the word was the exact same thing. The prophet, the word, the message was the same. Jesus said, if I do not the works that are written of me, don't believe me. That's good. Any man and his message is one. And that's why today that they do not believe in doing the works of God, because they do not accept the message of God. They don't believe the message. It's powerful, isn't it? But those who believe God's hour that we're living in, these are hidden food. Just think, God has so hid it that they look right at it and don't see it. The same way that Elijah blinded the Syrian army, the same way that God blinds the unbeliever from the true, genuine food of the child, the believer. They called Noah fanatic, building an ark. His eyes were open to the word of God and to the promise. The very thing that they call fanaticism saved Noah and his family. See, the very same thing that people laugh at is the thing that we pray for. The thing that people call crazy, we call great. The world calls it great, God calls it foolish. And what the world calls foolish, God calls great. It's just exactly the contrast between the right and the wrong. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Remember, he went into his secret place by the plan of God, by the call of God, and the word of God. Elijah entered into the secret place by God's foreknowledge, plan, and call upon his life according to the word. If it ain't the way we enter, I don't know how we get there. And notice, before the drought began, Elijah went to a place of secret for his living. A very type of the judgment starts to strike the earth. The church is already called out. The bride is already chosen, just waiting for the judgment to strike. All waiting, eating the food of God, enjoying the blessings. And many men in his normal mind knows that we're headed straight. We're right in the hour of judgment. Judgment is taking place right now. And in the midst of the judgment, the same message, the same gospel that is feeding us, it's going to be a judgment for them to come.
Amen.
Amen. I know that reading a lot of quotes can sure make you tired. I know. But I want to say this the way... I want you to see that this is in the message. It's so important for you to see that this is in the message. This is in the Bible. God was going to bring a judgment upon the earth. In the same way, told Brother Branham, he said, you take this rock up. I mean, he knows what I'm talking about. He told Brother Branham, he said, you take this rock up and you throw it up.
Right.
And Brother Branham didn't even know what he was doing it for. He said, I'm going to take this rock and I'm going to throw this up. And little did he know, it was judgment striking on the earth and nearly sunk Alaska.
Right.
Is that right?
Right.
God spoke to a prophet and told him. Brother Grimm said, well, go, even Elijah. He said, maybe a lot of times Elijah didn't know what he was doing. He didn't know what he was saying, but he knew he had to say, thus saith the Lord. Sometimes he didn't even know. Brother Grimm didn't know what he was doing. But he threw that rock up in the air. And he didn't even know it, but judgment was striking the earth right then. And right now, in the midst of a judgment taking place in the earth, right now, there's a secret place that we can hide. There's a secret place where God has got a place prepared for the prophet. Because where the prophet is, I want to be where the prophet's at.
Amen.
No matter where he goes. So whenever I'm talking about the prophet, I don't want you to look for Brother Branham. I want you to look for the message Brother Branham preached. Okay? Listen to me, young people. I want you to see this. It's so important. When I'm talking about these, don't think about Brother Branham, because Brother Branham's left the scene. It's the message. Because the message is still here.
Amen.
And the message is what's going to go in the rapture. The message is what's going to feed you in the midst of this famine right now.
Amen.
Because you can try to feed all you want on things out here. It's not going to work.
Right.
You can feed on entertainment. You can feed on school, on ambitions of getting your career. You can feed on making money. You can feed on enthusiasm in a church. But that's not what's going to do it for you.
Amen.
You've got to be born again. You've got to have the Holy Ghost. You've got to have a word where it's built on precept, line upon line, to where you know in the midst of a storm, when these winds blow, I know where I'm standing.
Amen.
Because you know what? In here, sometimes you can have the Holy Ghost moms. At home, when you got the comfort of your parents around you, you can have Holy Ghost moms. But I'm telling you, it's when you're by yourself. And the winds are blowing, and you feel lost.
Right.
And you feel like I have no hope, I'm falling away. And I have no idea how to tell people, help me.
Right.
You have no idea. You have a minister preach, and he's preaching, and you're thinking to yourself, I know I'm not where I need to be, but I don't know what to do. It's during that time when you got to have the message. That's when the word comes, because you serve God by faith.
Amen.
Amen.
You serve God by faith. It don't matter how you feel. It don't matter how you look. Do you believe the message? I believe it. But Daniel, I don't understand it. That's okay. You hold on to it. Because God has thoroughly manifested in this hour. This is the message.
Amen.
Brother Branham stood right up there in the front with all them other preachers. He said, I want any of you right now, come stand beside me right now. You're saying I'm a false prophet. Let him come and strike you dead if you're wrong. Strike me dead if I'm wrong.
Right.
Not one of them come out of their seats.
Right.
He called them out. God called a showdown. He said, get down here. You're saying he's a false prophet. You're saying he's right. He said, if I'm not, come on down here. Come right now. Because that wasn't Brother Branham. It was God working through him. It was God's prophet in this hour.
Amen.
It was a judgment taking place. There was, I remember that time Brother Branham got pulled to, God told him to go look at the curtain outside the window. Brother Branham was looking out the window, and God told him, he said, they've got a trap set for you. He said, they're all going to put you in here, and these ministers are going to put you in this room. They're going to try to pin you down. He said, but you go ahead. I'm with you. It's because God's with his prophet.
Right.
Brother, God went right in the midst of those men and showed him how the baptism, it matters how you're baptized. You have, because they've been baptized in titles. But you must be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
And all these men right there, you talk about the fathers of the denomination, so to speak. Mm-hmm. They were right there. And they said, Brother Branham, it's absolutely the truth. And every one of them said, you know, we're going to be baptized. We're going to receive it, Brother Ben, because that's right. Why? Because they were confronted with the light of the gospel right in their midst, and they knew it was right. And in the midst right there, they said, yeah, we're all going to be baptized. And not one single one came and did it.
Right.
Judgment upon themselves.
Yep.
Judgment begins at the house of God. You need to judge yourselves this morning and say, am I where I need to be? Because it don't matter what on the outside. It don't matter what you look like. Only you can answer that question on the inside. If have I truly got that experience inside me? Because I'm telling you, that's the only thing that matters.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
I've got a long way to go. I don't know how in the world I'm going to get there. But it's, you just hang on. Would you help me out a little bit, okay?
Amen.
Brother Ben talks about this. He says, we were standing down there on the river. That angel of the Lord come down that day, 33 years, or 1933 it was, come down and spoke the thing that he did. He walked out, and many men stand up the bank there and said, what did that mean, Billy? I said, that wasn't for me, that was for you. I believe you don't, and just went on. Then the pastor said to me, he said, you mean that you, with a seventh grade education, is going all over the world and pray for the monarchs and potentates and kings of the earth and so forth? Forget it. I couldn't forget it. It was engraved upon my heart. Now here, 33 years later, everything he said has happened perfectly the way he said it would be. It's God and can't fail. He always keeps his word. Don't ever doubt it. Now, notice, he went in by the plan of God, foreknowledge, call of God, the word of God, and went in before the drought set in. Now we know the judgment is ready to strike. Standing on the hill that day, Brother Banks Wood, standing there, we was walking up the hill. Maybe I quote it again, so that build your faith for this prayer line that's fixing to take place in the next 10, 15 minutes. I was just walking ahead of Brother Banks, and I think she had left Sister Ruby when she was sick, and he coming behind me, I noticed his face red. I looked back. I thought the heel might be a little hard for him to pull, so I kind of slowed up. Right in them deserts, right up them hills like that, right where the angels of the Lord appeared, we was headed right up in the direction then where they had appeared a few months before that. And as I went up the hill, the Spirit of God, when I turned around, looked on top of the mountain, he said, pick up that rock. And I say to him, thus saith the Lord, you'll see the glory of God in the next few hours. I just picked up the rock and I said, Brother Banks, I don't know why. Throwed it up in the air. I said, thus saith the Lord, you're going to see the glory of God.
He said, that meant Ruby? He's asking the question. Does that mean Ruby? Talking about Ruby that's sick. I said, no. I don't think it had anything to do with you. Banks or Ruby, either one. Just think it was just saying, thus saith the Lord, something's going to happen. And I skipped down a little bit from here. You can go back in the message and study this out because I went for time. Because what they were talking, what I'm cutting out here is where they talked about Sister Ruby. I started to walk around, and then I heard the voice of God speak and said, get out of the way quickly. Roy Robertson standing there, knowing he was a veteran of the war, I put my hand on his shoulder. I said, Brother Roy, hide as quick as you can. He said, what's the matter? I said, get out of the way, hide. I just started walking around, put my shovel down. I turned around, took off my hat, and here he come. The glory of God falling in a whirlwind that tore the side of the mountain out like that and blasted and shook the place like that, cut the top of the bushes out, just about 3 or 4 or 5 feet above my head, went back up like a funnel like that. It blasted again, and here it come, 3 times. Then when it left the 3rd time, Brother Banks come over and said, that's what you was talking about? I said, yes. I said, what was it? I said, God appears in whirlwinds. I didn't know whether he wanted me to tell the people or not. Then I went and prayed a little bit. Then he told me. I could tell him, I said, it's the judgment striking the West Coast. Look at her today. Look what happened a few hours after that. Alaska sunk, and now the whole thing is going under. We're entering into the judgment. Mercy, mercy has been spurned. But thanks be to God, we got hidden food, spiritual food that we're living on regardless of the mercy of the revelation of Jesus Christ in them days, vindicating himself among his people. Amen. They went in. Elijah went in before the drought set in. Thank God for being before the judgment sets in. Now is a time of coming out and going in, getting out of those organizations, getting into Christ, coming out and going in, time for all true believers. Then we was called and stayed. Remember, he never left that brook until God called him. And after the drought was about over, he called him out of there down to the widow's house. Think about this. I want you to turn in your scriptures. If you don't mind, let's go to 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he had come to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering 2 sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day of the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Now she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. In the midst of a famine, in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the hearing of the famine for the hearing of the word of God, here comes a little woman. And this woman with her son were in a famine. And this woman felt like she, I want you to enter into what she was going through.
This is a woman that loved God. This is a woman that loved her child. You can say amen. This is a woman that without a doubt was a genuine Christian. If I could say the best of the best, the most genuine you've ever seen, this was that woman. And in the midst of this famine, this woman was doing everything that she knew to keep herself alive. In the midst of this famine, she was doing everything she knew to keep her son positive. And then finally, at her last moment of prayer, her last moment of strength, she had enough to make one more meal, one more day for them to die. And in the midst of that, she had a visitation by Elijah. And during her visitation of Elijah, that was her one hope of saying, "I don't have, this is all I've got." And God says, "You take what you've got and you give it to me. You give me what you have, and I'm going to refill your barrel." Now you be honest with yourself this morning. If you feel like you're in a famine in yourself, will you feel like, you know what, I'm not as healthy as I know I can be. I am not as strengthful as I know I can be. I am not prayed up as much as I know I need to be. I'm struggling. Let's just be honest.
Amen.
It's a battle. This was a woman that was battling. This was a woman that was going through a struggle, a daily struggle of starving. Felt like she felt like every day was just a press, a trial. If we've ever been under a trial like we've been under today. And in the midst of this trial, there was a visitation that came and said, "If you'll just give me what you've got, I'm going to refill your barrel and you're never going to go in again. You give me what you have and I will refill." But you know what? The thing is, she wants to hold on to what she's got rather than to lay down and be broken. Is that right? You know, if you have noticed whenever Peter was walking on the water, you think the closer he got to the Lord, the more faith he would have got. But it's actually the further he got away from him, the more he doubted. Because he had more confidence in the boat than he did in the Lord. And it's the same way we can be. We can have more confidence in what we have than what God's trying to give us. Because God's saying, I'm going to give you this meal, this hunger that you've been looking for. Listen to me, young people. This hunger that you've been looking for. You've got this thing inside of you where you're hungry, you thirst for these things. Why do you think people put these piercings all over their face? Why do you think they put them big old holes in the side of their ears? Why do you think they go out and drink all their booze that they do? They're hungry. They're thirsty. They're in a famine. They're in the midst of a tribulation. If you was to see me 16 years ago, you thought there was no hope for this fella. My big old bell-bottom jeans, I hate those things now. And every time I'll be like, how did I ever wear those? Bell-bottom jeans, always had a chain on me. Piercings. I was thirsty, and I was hungry in the midst of a famine. And see, that's what we got to realize right now. We're here on this earth. They're hungry out there. They have a right to meet Elijah. And you know where Elijah can meet them? Right through you. Because you are that word. When you stay in the presence of God, he said the prophet stayed in the presence of God until he was one and the same with the gospel. We need to stay in the presence of God and the message to where we are one with this message. To where whenever they are in my presence, it's the exact same thing as being in the presence of Elijah. Because when they're in the presence of Elijah, it's not Elijah, it's God. Is that right?
Yeah.
Because they have become one with this word. How are you going to do that if you read your Bible once a day? Or once a week? Once every 2 weeks? Two things that devil will fight you with more than ever is reading your Bible and praying. Don't raise your hand, but I'm going to ask you, yourself, in yourself, do not raise your hand, in yourself. Answer this question yourself. How much have you been reading your Bible? How much have you been listening to a message? How much have you been spending in prayer? Are you in a feast, or are you in a famine? You know, you don't have to beg a hungry man to eat. My kids are perfect examples of that. They come in the house. If it's food there, it's gone. I used to have leftovers every day for lunch. She has to take my food out first and put it inside the bowl and put a guard on it and just about put a name on it. Daddies, don't touch, because they will eat it.
And sometimes they'll eat it anyway. I got to work the other day because I was doing the keto diet, and I opened up my lunch, and it was gone. And I said, what happened to my lunch? He said, well, Elijah ate it. Like, well, I hope he's full. Say these things, you don't have to beg a hungry person to eat. Because when they're hungry, they're going to sniff it out. They're going to find it, and they're going to eat it.
Right.
And in this famine, we've got to make sure we're eating the right thing. Because it's so easy to be caught up in life to where you're so full of what we call life. Because you're so full of life that you can say, boy, this has been such a good day. I've done all these things. I've done all these wonderful things, you know. And you know your own avenue of your life, of what it is. It's been such a good day. How much did you spend with the Lord? Because we're talking about how we are supposed to become one with this word.
Right.
Could you imagine a husband and wife being one? And she looks nothing like him, acts nothing like him. They never talk. He lives on one side of the house. She lives on the other side of the house. It's not much of a one, is it? But it's where we are one with this word. To where you are familiarized with the scriptures. Whenever there should be, you can talk about camp talk. All we got to do is say, cobbler. And the brother's ears like a mule turn over like, huh? Cobbler? He must have talked about camping. Now, we can talk about Brother Matthew. I can mention arrows. That brother's automatically, he's thinking about hunting, automatically. What is it? Because that's camp talk. That's hunting talk. But there's message talk. There's certain things that we can talk about in fellowship towards it. I know what you're talking about, brother. I know because I'm in the tapes. I'm in the message. See, I want us to persevere. I know I'm right in the midst of your tater patch, and it gets uncomfortable sometimes. Please listen to what I'm saying. It's in the midst of your time right now, of your trial, especially you young people. During this time right now, it's a short window of your life, and right now is like an investment. What you're investing in, brother? Jesus said, "Don't put your store your treasures up where moth and rust can corrupt it, but store your treasures in heaven." Young married couples that are coming up, that's where your number one destiny will be. Is your time in the Lord. Because in your midst of the trial, that's what's going to hold your storm together.
Right.
That's what's going to bring you closer together, is your investment in the Lord. Your time in college, if you're in high school, it's right now. But when you're investing your time, when you're sowing your time in the Word, you're sowing your time in prayer, you're sowing these times and these things, it's during those times when the temptations come and the trials come, that's what's going to hold you together. It's going to be the Word. But if you try to go by emotions, you try to slide by, you try to just coast by, because we have people who have a tendency to try to coast through life. I'm going to show you something. Just talking about investments. Financially, you try to coast through life, and you say, you know what, I'm going to use the example of having my retirement account. I'm going to have a retirement account. I'm going to coast through life, and I'm just going to live through life, and I'm going to put money in my investment. I'm going to put money in my account. I'm going to put money in my account. Eventually, I'm going to do it. Eventually, I'm going to do it. Next thing you know, you're going to be 35 years old, and you ain't got nothing saved. And you take that spiritually speaking. You can put it off and say, you know what? I'm going to spend more time with the Lord. I'm going to spend more time with these things. You got to stay in the presence of God to where you become one with God. Is that right? You got to stay in the presence of God to where you become one with this message, to where you start to think like this message. Brother Tony's in this series, If I Was God, that's exactly what he's talking about. To the point to where your thinking is just like God's because you're in the presence of God. Amen. We got just a little further I want to go. I don't have the time to go through all these because of the time, so I'm gonna skip through past some of this. Let's go to your Bibles. 1 Kings chapter 18. And we're going to start in verse 18. In the midst of this, this is where Elijah, he comes up and he's going to face Ahab. He's going to talk to Ahab after this judgment. And 18, verse 18, did you find it? If you got it in your Bible, it's what verses, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 18. The scripture before that says, "And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab had said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" And verse 18 says, "And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam." I'll just go ahead and read it for you.
No, I'm sorry.
Oh, you're fine. "And now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal, 450, and priests of the groves, 400, which eat of Jezebel's table." Let's just go ahead and keep going to the next scripture, sister. "So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long have you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then Elijah said unto the people, I only remain of the prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood and put on fire under, and I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put it on fire under, put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under it. And they took the bullocks which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it come to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. He said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he's talking, or he's pursuing, or he's in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth, and must be awakened. Think of this. You're in the midst of a showdown, he's making fun of them. You say, man, I like that. He's a prophet with some spunk in him. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after this manner with knives and lances till the blood gushed out of them. You're talking about these people that were so sincere about their worship. They said, this is the right way. I know this is the right way. They're so sincere. They're taking knives and cutting themselves. You think they were sincere? Go ahead and go to the next one. And it came to pass when midday was past that they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people come near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. I want you to stop and think about that. In the evening time, he let them have their showdown all day long. But in the evening time, there's going to be a light. You say amen. And in the evening time, how many know? Go back to that description for just a moment, if you don't mind. You're doing great, sister. It says that he repaired the altar. In our day, Brother Brim's message was you turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children. Hearts of the children back to the fathers. Lest thou smite the earth with a curse. He wasn't to come and try to bring a new message. He was to come to take all these lucid things and put it together.
Right.
And I'm going to say it this way.
He rebuilt the altar. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribe of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. He said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. I want you to make sure you catch what's happening here. These people had an altar. They were going to have God, their God, light this fire up. They stood on it. They were sincere. They were cutting themselves. They said, let God do it. Elijah standing here on the other side, leaning against the altar, so to speak, says, maybe he's asleep. Say it a little louder. Speak up a little bit. Maybe he's not hearing you. He was mocking them. Then at Elijah's time, at the evening time, he says, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to build a trench around 2 seeds all the way around this. We pour water on it. 12 buckets of water we're going to pour on top of this. Because he's going to have God light the fire in the midst of water. And the water run about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it come to pass at the time of the offering at the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet come near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. What's Malachi 4, 5, and 6, young people? Turn their hearts back to the fathers. It's Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. This message was to rebuild the altar and turn their hearts back to the original. If you listen to the message, Brother Branham, it's not Brother Branham, it's God. He says, a provided way for worship. God's provided way of anything. What was God doing in the midst of a judgment taking place on the earth? God was returning the bride back to his word, rebuilding the altar, and saying, this is the sacrifice that God wants, his word. This is the provided way of worship to God. This is the way to do these things. It's the same God, the same anointing that was back there, the same anointing today. Amen. Go ahead and go to the next scripture. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah turned, said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up and eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. And Ahab went to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. Think about this man, Elijah. Think about the pressure that's on him. In the midst of this judgment, he puts down, he literally put his hand between his knees and said, oh God. Go to the next scripture. And he said unto his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. I'm sorry, this is Elijah telling his servant. He said, said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. He said, go again 7 times. And it come to pass at the 7th time, he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like the size of a man's hand. How small of a cloud are we talking about? We're talking about the size of a man's hand, a cloud. We're looking out here and we're waiting for God to come on the scene. And he says, I see something about the size of a man's hand. I love this. He said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down that the rain stop thee not. And it come to pass in the meanwhile that the heavens was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. God, come on the scene. I want you, sometimes when you're praying for a revival, you say, God, I need a revival in this. I want a revival in my life. I want a revival in my prayer life. I want the anointing on me, God. I need these things. You look for the size of a man's hand. You see any significance of the power of God, you jump on it and you capitalize on it. Say amen. Right. I got a call the other day. My mom, I was going to have to go to the hospital to my dad because he was in the hospital from the heart attack. I was fixing to leave there. I got a phone call and they said, your mom's in the hospital, NER now. And they don't know what's going on with her. Everything's going wrong. And I said, my goodness. I said, I'm on the way. And on the way there, I felt just as powerless and weakless. I was like, my goodness, what could go wrong? Anything goes wrong, goes wrong. And as I went inside there, and I went into the hospital room, and I seen her sitting there, and she was real weak and just tired. And I was looking for the cloud of the size of a man's hand, so to speak. I was looking for, God, give me something. Because, you know, you can pray at any time, but then you can pray when God tells you to pray. And there's a difference. And I stood there and I was like, Lord, I'll pray with you if you want me to pray. And I think to myself, I was like, I just don't feel anything. I don't want to go by feelings, but you know what I'm saying. You want to be led by the Lord. I'm sitting here and the doctor said, we don't know what's going on. She's in a tremendous amount of pain, all these things. And I'm thinking, Lord, I need your help. I'm seeking for God. I said, Lord, I need your help. Show me what to do here. Because I'm tired of this devil doing what, because I preach your word, Lord. And your word says that he's a powerless devil. He's a powerless devil for us. Lord, I need your help right now. And I'm sitting here. And all of a sudden, I seen what felt like the size of a cloud of a man's hand come through. I felt the little presence of the Lord come down. And I knew at that moment, it was going to be well. Felt that presence of God coming. I took her by the hand and I said, Lord, I, by the authority of the Holy Ghost, I take authority right now. I put this devil under my feet right now. And you feel the presence of God come in the room immediately. And we said, Lord, I ask you, and I didn't do a power of prayer. I said, Lord, I break every chain right now in Jesus' name. And I'm telling you what, everything, her heart rate went perfectly well. Everything went perfectly well immediately. Come in, God ain't God.
Amen.
If he's God, serve him. You know what? I want us to take control. It's where God, give all I need, Lord. You just give me the size of a man's hand in the cloud. That's all I need. You give me that, I'm going to step up. He said, amen.
Amen.
In your revival, in your life, say, God, give me just the size of a man's hand. If you'll give me that, God, I'm going to serve you. Stand to your feet this morning. You confront the devil that's trying to hold you down this morning. You confront the devil that's trying to bind you this morning, that's trying to haunt you this morning. And you can look at this and you can say, Lord, in yourself, to the best of my ability, I have applied this word to my life. You say, amen.
Amen.
And if you haven't, do it right now. You say, Lord, to the best of my ability, I have applied this word to my life and I'm pressing on. I'm just like that little widow. Maybe I feel like I'm just as weak as can be, but Lord, we don't have to be. Lord, I want authority this morning. All I need is the size of a man's hand, Lord. Just a little bit of the presence of your presence here to show me, Lord, yes, this is your will. God, if you'll give that to me, I'm going to take it by the reins and I'm going to run with it. Who agree with me this morning?
Amen.
I'm not talking about my feelings. I'm talking about by seeing the size of a man's hand, by understanding. That's what I'm talking about.
Right.
By understanding, if you can see the size of a man's hand of the revelation we're talking about this morning, you take on to that piece of the revelation that you got, and you say, Lord, I see it, I believe it, you are God, I'm going to serve you. Amen. Let's all bow our heads just a moment. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, Father, it's been such a heavy burden for this morning, Lord, because I see the judgment are taking place in this land. But Lord, we're judged ourselves already. By this word, Lord, we know you are God and we're going to serve you, Lord. I'm asking you that the size of the cloud of a man's hand, Lord, that you would see, let this little congregation see your word, Lord God. Because we don't have to just see the cloud of a man's hand. We can see the whole thing. But Lord God, it's whatever stage they're in their walk right now, Lord, help them to see you as God and say, I'm going to serve you, Lord. Lord, I ask you to break every chain, Lord. You're the chain breaker this morning. I ask you, Lord God, that you would put the devil under our feet in every aspect, Lord God. Lord Jesus, this word is the prophet has told us. He showed us there's a provided way. He showed us, Lord, that you've got to stop doing these things. You've got to start doing these things, Lord. Lord, I ask you to help us in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask musicians to come forth. There's things you've got to stop doing. There's things you've got to start doing. He's a chain breaker this morning. And he'll break the chains. We sing that song every once in a while. He's in the house. You have another words that song, brother.
Simple surgery done on his kidneys, and it should have been just a simple operation. And Vicky took him to the doctor, and I said, I'll work that morning, and we'll meet at the house. We'll meet at the house, I'll watch Dad and take care of him, and you go buy groceries, because we haven't bought groceries yet. And cabinets are kind of empty, and it's been such a struggle at work, and just it's a mental thing sometimes, I guess, maybe. Sales is across the nation is like down like 50%, and it's always this time of the year. So my mind was just kind of thinking about that pretty heavy throughout the day, and I was thinking about how, God, I've got this token applied, and I'm so concerned about my family. I want to see my family be saved. My brother was hit by a semi truck the week before and almost took his life, and by all rights it should have. I remember I was walking the parking lot, and I have no idea why. But I don't even know how to explain it why, but I was in the middle of the parking lot. I just walked straight to the back, got my lunch box, and went to my truck. I had no idea where I was going. Honest truth, I had no idea where I was going. I got in my truck, I started driving, and I told Vicky, someone just told me, call Vicky to meet you at Walmart on Zero Street. So I just picked up my phone and I called her. I said, hey, why don't you just meet me at Walmart on Zero Street, which is right up the street from the hospital, and I'll just take Dad now. You go ahead and go buy grocery shopping. I asked myself, why did I do that? I had no idea why I did that. And something inside of me told me there's something fixing to take place. And I had no idea what. And Vicky pulled up in the parking lot. I could see kind of the look on her face. Something looked startled. And I said, hey, how's he doing? And she said, he's got something's wrong. I don't know. I said, well, let me talk to him. I got in the truck. I said, Dad, how are you? He said, I feel funny. I said, where are you hurt at? He said, I don't hurt. I said, it's right through here. I said, I'm taking you to the doctor. There's something wrong. And he said, I don't need to go to the doctor. I said, we're going to the doctor right now. And I took him straight to the ER, and they got him to the back, and they said, if you had been 15 more minutes, he'd be dead. Dad had had a heart attack, and I mean, literally, I put him in the room. They had me step out for just a moment, and I thought they was going to put the wires on him, and immediately, he went from being able to talk to him, he couldn't even look up. He was so gone.
They took him down the hallway, and they said that he's got 100% blockage on the front and on the back. And they said, "We don't, bro, we ain't gonna make it." I said, "I'm just gonna be honest with you. We don't think he's gonna survive the surgery." And I said, "Well, we're gonna do the surgery." I said, "God is the God of miracles. I know He is." And I went to the restroom just to kind of get away from everybody for just a moment. And when I went to the bathroom, I heard this song playing. "He's in the house." Listen, God, I'm hoping you're talking the best I know how to do. That's my daddy in that room in there, and I'm not taking no for an answer today. I said, "You can either heal him 100%, or I want the absolute best of the best of the best working on him." And I went to the room, and the waiting room waiting, and they come in and they said, "Tomorrow morning we're going to know for sure." And they said that we tried for over an hour putting a balloon in him. Unsuccessful. He said, "But we've got the best of the best that's coming to do this surgery." My prayer was, "God, either you heal him 100% or you give me the best of the best." They said, "This man is the best of the best." I never said a word to him about the best of the best. They said, We have got the best of the best that's going to come and do this surgery on him." And I said, "Well, I believe that." They put us in that waiting room and they said, "It's going to take about 3 hours probably to get this operation done." And 30 minutes later, they came back. They said, "Black family, come back here to this room." Like, "Oh my goodness, what's happened?" We get back into the room and they said, "I told you, he's the best of the best." This man had that operation done. It's supposed to take 3 hours. He was done in 30 minutes. And Dad is doing well. I say this to tell you, it's in those times when we need this message. It's in those times whenever we feel like we can't stand anymore. It's in those times when you don't have emotions, you don't have feelings. All you've got is faith. And you say, "God, I believe your word. I believe your word. By your stripes, we were healed." It's in those times. And that same God's here this morning. If you need the Holy Ghost in your life, He's here to give it to you. But you've got to just receive it from Him. You've got to say, "God, I'm tired of playing around. I want the real thing this morning." Let's let every head be bowed and every heart pray this morning. There's anybody here right now, you question your experience. You say, "I don't know if I've got it. I think I do. I don't know. But I want to know." You can pray right where you're at, or you can come right here in the front, right here this morning, and I'll pray with you right now. Don't you leave this house today, because He's in the house this morning. You've got to meet before God, and He's in the house. You can receive Him right where you're at. So we sing this again, brother.
He's in the house. Put her stake in the ground this morning, Lord.